Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, we got relationships in trouble. Everyone's talking about Aaron Rodgers. Will he or won't he be back with the Packers? I have my own feelings. I'll share that with you upcoming. In the meantime, Packers have gotten a chance to make multiple statements, and they're interesting. I don't actually know what's going to happen. I really, truly don't know what's going to happen. No idea. Zero. Not a clue. Nothing. I don't know. No. But what I do know is what I think's going to happen. Okay, so Aaron Rodgers, apparently this has been going on for a while. Are we all okay with that? Can we nod our heads? Gavin, you want to nod your head? You're good. Okay. Ramos, you can nod your head. Isaac, you can nod your head. So, like, the idea that Thursday is like, oh my gosh, Aaron Rodgers, you know, doesn't want to come back, that there's a rift between him and the team, not new information. So, why did it come out on Thursday? Ramos, why do you think it came out on Thursday?
Because it was the first day of the draft.
Okay. Why is that important?
Because it would throw Green Bay's idea of what they needed into a like a hard way. Like, they'd have to like turn in a different direction and throw them off.
Force their hand a little bit to draft a quarterback if they wanted to draft a quarterback, even though they drafted a quarterback last year or whatever, right? And it would allow you, I think that's an ancillary benefit of why it was announced. Gavin, do you have a guess or a hypothesis, if you want?
It's the same thing. They drafted Jordan Love exactly 1 year earlier, so he wants to get them back by making them reshuffle right before the draft.
Okay, so here's the question, right? The question is this. Isaac, do you have a thought as to why it got out the day of the draft?
No, but I actually have audio of Aaron Rodgers' thought process about that. Listen. That about sums it up.
I have one more reason.
Go ahead.
ESPN's ratings, you know? Adam Schefter, maybe he held on to it for a week or so. Get people tuning in.
Yeah, what do you guys think? Yeah, I don't buy that.
Sounded good, though.
That would be a no, Gavin.
Well, no, here's the... Look, this is a good hypothesis, okay? The problem with that is Schefter runs the risk of losing the story, right? Runs the risk of losing the story. What was the story that they had? It was the Lene Kukua deal, right? You guys remember the Lene Kukua deal? Have you seen the 30 for 30 on Lene Kukua? Lene Kukua is the fake ex-girlfriend of Manti Te'o, right, who died from cancer, and he perpetuated the fraud for like almost a year for an entire football season afterwards. Right, ESPN had the story, wouldn't go with the story. Deadspin got the story, ran with it, and ESPN was left looking like. And now it's like you go back and like all those writers are still pissed that they were. I don't see when you have the story that big, that the sitting MVP of the league doesn't want to play for his current team, the only team he's ever played for, I don't think you sit in the story. But I don't think it's about their ratings. I think you sit on until the draft day. Here's what I believe. I think that there was a double-edged or maybe triple-edged reason for Aaron Rodgers letting it get out on draft day. Reason one, it's the old FU because of Jordan Love. That's probably the third and least important reason. Reason two is really related to reason three. This was not the first they'd spoken of it, okay? But, you know, the only way in which something is going to happen when it doesn't happen behind closed doors is if you open up those doors and show the rest of the world, hey, this is a real relationship. But the reason it was that day is Aaron's camp knows, David Dunn knows, there's no chance that the Packers trade Aaron Rodgers this year after you get through the draft. Because the trade for Rodgers, one, it's going to have to include current NFL players, but the trade is going to have to replace him right away, not just with a quarterback. Hey, but you're not going to want to wait. We're not going to wait another year and start a Jordan Love a year before we want to. So I believe that this is a last-ditch Hail Mary of an effort. I want to be traded. I want to be traded. Okay, you let it out on draft day because they were trying to, that's why you let out the San Francisco 49ers are calling about it. On draft day, let's see if we can get this thing to happen before the draft. Otherwise, it won't happen. Now, after the draft, what are we hearing? Well, Aaron Rodgers may retire, right, if he's not dealt. And if he's going to be traded June 1st, you only trade a guy June 1st if he doesn't have true value for you. You're not going to get the same value in return. They're not doing that. Not only did they not select a quarterback, but they stayed in line with what they needed, which, by the way, was what they needed when they drafted Jordan Love. They needed a replacement in 2 years. It's been a year. That's what they got. They needed a cornerback. That's what they got in the first round. They needed offensive line help. That's what they got. They lost Jamal Williams as a running back. They got another running back late. Like, they just go and shop for what they actually need and who the highest is on the board, and that's what they do. They didn't flinch at all. And that's why Aaron Rodgers has leaked out another one, which is, hey, he doesn't want to come back, but if you fire Brian Gutekunst, the problem with that is, one, Gutekunst has been a general manager for 2 years. Both have ended up in the NFC Championship game. That's really hard to go like, yeah, we want to get rid of you. Plus, it's a very tight circle in Green Bay. There may be some dysfunction there, but it's a very tight circle. We haven't actually seen Jordan Love play in an exhibition game, no less an NFL game. Nobody knows what they actually have there, Packers included. Packers included. And I think the last, what you've heard is Gutekunst goes, maybe Aaron Rodgers stays. I think, again, that's the sign of desperation that the Packers aren't listening to your demands. Now I'm going to throw out something even more crazy to figure out how demonstrative I need to be to make this happen. Rodgers doesn't want to retire. If he does, he has to pay back $22 million in bonuses. That ain't happening. Right? And they're not going to trade him, and he's under contract, honestly, for 3 more years. It's not happening. This is Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Packers, over the weekend.
I know the reports out there. I mean, this guy is our quarterback, man, and he's our leader of our team, and I want nothing more than to see him back in a Packer uniform. And, you know, we've been able to accomplish a lot of great feats over the last 2 years, two straight NFC Championship games. I know the seasons haven't ended the way we've wanted them to, but in my eyes, he's the greatest to ever do it. I don't care about Super Bowls or whatnot, but we want him back here.
That's all well and good, Matt, but what if he doesn't want to be back here?
Yeah, I know. And I can't even take my brain to that spot right now. So I just want to do everything in my power to ensure that doesn't happen.
This is Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the Niners. What he told Rich Eisen today about a phone call he had with Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, the exact truth is I don't want to wake up the next day on Friday and see Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in this league, traded without doing any due diligence on it. So I just called Matt and asked him if there's anything to it. And Matt told me I'd be wasting my time if we had Lynch call. And so Lynch did not call anyone the next day. But yes, I did reach out to Matt the night before and asked him hey, man, I don't want to wake up the next day and see that Aaron was traded for something. I didn't at least look into it. And so that's what I did with Matt, and he gave me a very quick answer. So I didn't even tell John to call Goody. So I think that would have worked out, I guess. We were happy to get our guy, and hopefully it'll work out for them.
Yeah, it's interesting. Packers aren't trading him. They would have traded him before the draft if they were going to trade him, and they're not trading him. And he's not retiring because he's not paying back $22 million. So all of this stuff is noise, and it sounds really good on radio. Go, oh, but keep in mind, Russell Wilson didn't want to come back. Was he traded? Deshaun Watson, I don't know if they were going to trade him or not trade him, but they had not yet and said they were not going to. The problem is, if now you relent to Aaron Rodgers, his demands, that means anybody who signs a contract, you can, if they say I'm not going to play, they can be traded. And, oh yeah, by the way, if you acquiesce and fire your general manager, that makes your front office look exceptionally weak. Especially considering it's not like Gutekunst has a team that's won four games or five games. He has two consecutive seasons of NFC championship games, including the number one seed this year. That's the team that he helped reconstruct. So it's a dangerous game that Rodgers plays. It's a bluff that they're going to call you on. Yes, John Ramos.
Precedent, right? That's a big word. Nobody wants to be the precedent, just like a precedent, not the president, but the precedent, just like in the Supreme Court. You always go back to the first thing that happened. It's like, well, that happened here. So if you're exactly right, Doug. If they do all this stuff, and then all the other players will be like, well, look what Aaron Rodgers, the precedent. And they'll just go from there and it'll just be out of control.
We're not trading our quarterback after we were within a whisker of the Super Bowl. Not happening. He's under contract. He's only played with one team.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Can we have that draft again this weekend? That was fun. Let's do it again. Redo. Do over. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I love my GM and scouting friends. Yeah, you know, you text them and you're like, hey, great pick. Like, yeah, that one wasn't mine. That wasn't my call. I like him, but it wasn't my call. You know, you'll get those. What do the Broncos do at quarterback? I think the Broncos think they're in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. I just don't think those Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes are this year. You know? You look at what they've done, short term, put a Band-Aid on it, Teddy Bridgewater, he becomes the guy, and they continue to build, and they'll keep asking on Aaron Rodgers, but there ain't no way. Because what you got to fathom is that if you were the Packers, and you're like, okay, we're going to trade Aaron Rodgers after June 1st so it doesn't hurt us against the cap. That sounds like a great idea. But now we're not trading for draft picks, eh? Because if you trade for a draft pick and then you trade Aaron Rodgers to the Packers, hey, how do you think to the Broncos? How do you think the Broncos would do with Aaron Rodgers? Pretty good, right? How'd that first round draft pick look? Mid to late 20s. I don't care if Kansas City and we all know that me and Gavin love the Chargers, think they're really good. Okay, I think Justin Herbert will be good someday. I know Aaron Rodgers is great. So the idea of trading a draft pick and then having that star player play for that team, the draft pick is not going to be worthless, but not nearly as valuable as this year's draft pick when you're in the top 10 would have been, right? Okay. So I don't think they're trading him this year, because if they did, it would have to be for legitimate NFL players. Which, by the way, like if you're the Broncos, like, wait a second, we built this team and we only need a quarterback, only to then get a quarterback, but then need to rebuild the rest of the team. That doesn't make sense either. So it's my belief that they'll, if Aaron Rodgers is dealt, it'll be at the end of this season, not before this season.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Andrew Brandt joins us. He wrote the contract that Aaron Rodgers initially signed when they drafted him out of college. What better source to talk to you about A-Rodge and what he is, who he is, and what this is all about, and how ultimately it gets fixed. Andrew, how are you?
I'm good, Doug. Talking about this a little bit over the past few days. I wish I had answers. I am not shocked. And let's just start there. I mean, who's shocked when someone takes their replacement that they're unhappy? Of course. You know, he is a placeholder for Jordan Love. He's been that since a year ago. He's kept largely quiet about it for the year, at least in public view, and now it comes out. And obviously that's not the entire issue he has, the Jordan Love pick. But it's deja vu for me, Doug, because 15 years ago, you know, we drafted Aaron Rodgers, and Brett Favre became someone holding the seat warm as an MVP of the NFL. It's not an easy situation. It's something I worked hard to manage a long time ago, and they've got to manage that in Green Bay now.
You and I have discussed this before, but for people just tuning in, it's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, Andrew Brandt, of course. He's a guru in these sorts of things, worked in the Eagles front office, worked in the Packers front office. Now you see him across the dial, and of course, he also has his own class at the at Villanova University. Okay, so when they took him, I got it, and most NFL people I knew got it. Like, Aaron was 36, going to be 37, didn't have the greatest year of all time. Always kind of gives you that, I'm not really into what you're doing. I kind of do my own sort of thing. And Jordan Love was a 2 years away from being ready sort of guy, which lines up with Aaron Rodgers' contract.
Right.
I just thought it bought them a security blanket if, in fact, they felt like the Rodgers, either he didn't have it or didn't want to be there at the end of this coming season. At the time, was it a mistake to draft him, or was it just a mistake to not communicate? Or is that the right thing to do, to just do what you do and don't worry about the player?
Well, that's certainly what front offices do. It's not peculiar to the Packers. I mean, I know everybody's enamored with this Tom Brady importing his veterans down to Tampa, but the norm, even for stars, is the team does what they do. And maybe they'll let them know on a big decision or check in, but that just hasn't happened in the past. And yes, what's interesting to me, Doug, is that we have, as I just said, we didn't hear about any dissatisfaction about the Love pick. He said he was surprised, you know, something like that over the offseason last year. But now we hear a lot about it. And I think what happened is he turned out to be the MVP. And he's like, well, wait a minute. So I'm the MVP, and you're still going to replace me with this guy, but you don't want to do it now because he's not ready, but you probably are going to do it next year. So I almost feel like he's saying, well, let's just do it now. You know, let's do it now. Why am I doing this? What are we doing here? Where you're just kind of trotting me out there for another year so you can be a good team and then get rid of me next year. So I understand it. I guess what I wonder is, and this sort of, I scratch my head when I read that LaFleur and Gutekunst and Murphy have already been out to L.A. a couple times checking on him. Like, what's going on with the communication? Like, to me, this is all about trust and loyalty and communication and being honest with each other. And I feel like there's some breach there. So I'm not sure what's going on there. It seems deeper than Jordan Love or deeper than getting some receiver that they didn't get or something like that.
Yeah, it is. And do you believe he said Brian Gutekunst or me, one of us has got to go?
I don't. I mean, I think whoever's reporting it could probably come away with it, something to that effect. I don't think it was those words. But and for those who don't know, and you know this, Doug, the Packers are different. I was there for a decade. I mean, there's no owner. There's a president. There's a board of directors. There's an executive committee. But those guys are like, you know, they defer to the GM. It's been that way since Ron Wolf 30 years ago. They defer to football. So they scout. They pick players. The Packers have had elite evaluators, from Ron to Ted to John Schneider to John Dorsey to Elliot Wolf to Brian Gutekunst, who's a disciple of Ted Thompson, who was there as a young scout when I was there. And I want to say this nicely. They're not the best communicators.
Right. All they know is the Packers, right? That's like one of the things is all they know is the Packers and the Packers way. It's worked. This is how they do it. And it's not a – we're not an organization that has to communicate everything we do with players with anybody else because we decide things and that's the way it goes.
Yeah, it's just – I mean, before the Pack – when the Packers went through their dark days way back in the 50s, 60s – or I mean, 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, there was interference, I guess. But they're like, all right, we're hiring this guy Ron Wolf, and it's his call. And then it was Ted Thompson. And then it was Brian Gutekunst. It's like they do what they do. You know, we are administrators. We board of directors and all that stuff. So, yes, that's the way it is.
I took it, Andrew Brandt joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. I took the timing of the leak about everything on draft day as, one, a little bit of an FU to them, right? The one-year anniversary of drafting Jordan Love. But I also took that as, you say, I don't know if you do deadlines. I say deadlines make deals, right?
Yeah, I'd say deadlines spur action.
Right, deadlines spur action. And really, the deadline, though, with his contract, it needs to be June 1st. The deadline for the trading him was before the draft. You're not going to trade for future draft picks when you're going to trade Aaron Rodgers because it's not going to be a good draft pick because he's a great quarterback, right?
Right.
Though you would get some personnel back, you got to get a mixture of both. So I think that's why it came. Those are the two main reasons it came out when it came out, is they were trying to make it happen then because they knew it won't happen now. And it was also a little bit of an FU. Is that a fair guess on why Aaron let it out on draft day?
Yeah, I mean, the draft day thing is really interesting because I understand what you're saying. And yes, if you're going to trade Aaron Rodgers, you want present draft picks. You want more; they're much more valuable than future draft picks. But to think the Packers are going to step out of their war room and make the biggest trade in their history with an hour to go, it just didn't seem logical. And I get it. You know, they're like, let's trade them while the draft is about to start. But you know, maybe it could have come out a week before the draft if that was really their plan. But you bring up the real point, and this is what I've said about Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson. You cannot get equal value for these players.
Right.
I don't care how many number one picks or some nice offensive lineman or some defensive tackle. You can't. I mean, you can't get equal value. So, yeah, I do think the Packers are going to trade him next year. And they brought that on themselves by taking Love. But even then, it's going to be hard to see that's equal value for Aaron Rodgers.
Andrew Brandt, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. You did a video, an update of your thoughts on Friday or on Thursday when this all went down. Now, a couple days later, do you still feel the same that he'll be in a Packers uniform this year?
My answer is yes. I'm not as 100%, but yes, my answer is yes, because he can't trade himself. And they're resolute. They are resolute. They are sticking with their plan. Jordan Love is the quarterback in 2022 at the earliest. So that's the easy part, Doug. Then it's like, what now? So now what? Is Aaron Rodgers going to boycott? Is Aaron Rodgers going to retire? Is Aaron Rodgers going to, you know, give something that really is an ultimatum about Gutekunst? I mean, these are all the options ahead because the Packers have made their stance pretty clear. And I think it would not be a good organizational look if the Packers come out and say, yeah, we couldn't deal with it all. We're going to trade them. No, I just think, yes, the Packers have made their stance, and now it's in Aaron's court.
And if he retires, he's got to pay back $22 million in bonuses?
Yeah, it's the prorated bonuses, whatever that number is. And he'd be put on a reserve retired list. And this idea that he could play them like Carson Palmer, I don't know. I mean, yes, I guess the Packers could get some stupid offer and let him back on the roster and then trade him. I mean, that's a lot of hoops.
Yeah. I just don't see it. I don't see it. You let him. He played fine, pissed off last year. He'll play fine, pissed off this year. He's not going to retire because nobody wants to pay back $22 million. That ain't happening. And there's no real value for it. No, yeah, by the way, the difference in that and Carson Palmer is like, look, they went to the last two NFC championship games. They're this close to get to a Super Bowl. You know, we're not going to blow it up now. Like, if you blow it up if you win five games, right? The Deshaun Watson thing made more sense than this actually makes sense.
You know, one thing I do believe, listen, you're in L.A. I understand sports and entertainment, and you do treat stars differently. That's a change the Packers probably have to deal with Rodgers. He's not just like other players.
Agreed.
And I don't know if that means letting him host Jeopardy or letting him hang out there more or bringing him in for some big-ticket item decisions on personnel, whatever it may be. That's probably a change the Packers need to make, if only for this year. And that's a hard thing to do. The Packers, if we've been talking about, have been this one-way traditional state organization. And, you know, we may see a little change in that.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. And for the draft, assuming Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback, they did really well, right? They got what they needed. They got a cornerback that they needed. They had a slot wide receiver they haven't had in 2 years. And they got offensive line help as they're trying to rebuild their line, which, by the way, that's probably the biggest reason. The cornerback and offensive line is the reason they didn't go to the Super Bowl.
I do not subscribe to the narrative, Doug, that the Packers haven't helped out Aaron Rodgers. I mean, got the best receiver in the league. You got a top 10 running back. You got a top 5 offensive line. I know they had injuries last year. And, you know, you've got some studs on defense. Jair Alexander may be the best corner. Now you get another one. So they didn't lose to the Brady and the Bucks because of their offensive personnel. They had a couple defensive breakdowns. So, yeah, I think they did fine.
Yeah, I did as well. It's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Andrew, great stuff, man. You're always an unbelievable. Oh, I did want to ask you one thing. There's the video of Howie Roseman. Was that the second round pick? I think it was the second round pick where he pops in and he's like, hey, how about that, dapping people up? And then you look off in the corner and it was like, please don't talk to me right now. You've been inside that draft room with the Eagles. And again, some of this is perception, right? We're coming off a couple weeks ago. There was the story about the Eagles and the dysfunction within their front office. What'd you take away from seeing that video?
Yeah. That Tom Donahoe is the guy that he didn't like to pick. You know, they had moved back, and I think maybe it just looked on his face like they moved back, and the guy they wanted went in those picks where they moved back. Listen, Tom Donahoe is, you know, 70-something year old, old-time scout that was GM of the Bills that's helping out the Eagles. He doesn't care about whether Howie likes the pick or not. He's an old guy that says, I wanted someone else. So, you know, that was shown. That was an interesting little video clip there.
I thought it was awesome. I thought, like, it's the everything else is so fake. This is what it's really like, is guys. Because I was texting with a buddy of mine who's a director of player personnel for a team. And, you know, like, for example, when Trey Lance went, he's like, man, Trey's going to be a star. Just trust me, he's going to be a star. Anyway, then I got to his pick, and I was like, oh, hey, great pick. He's like, yeah, it wasn't really my call. I like him, but that wasn't the guy I would have taken. That's the real world of it, not what we normally see. Andrew,
you know, one quick thing on Trey Lance. Yeah. He better be good. You know, they traded two number ones, switch number ones. You know, that's what you give up for, like, Jalen Ramsey and Khalil Mack. So I know they locked in on all this BS about they were still thinking about who to take. But, wow, he better be the guy.
Yep, he better be really good. Awesome stuff, Andrew. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Doug.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. This is my yearly reminder that Cinco de Mayo is not Mexican Independence Day. Okay? It's not Mexican Independence Day. Right? So Well, if you're celebrating Cinco de Mayo, you're like, El Taco Tuesday becomes Cinco de Mayo Wednesday, and let's have some Mexican beer. I do. I love Mexican beer. It's the kind of beer I like the best. Okay? I'm not an IPA guy. Gross to me. You like it better? That's good. It's all good with you. I can go into it. We went into the taco discussion last week. I love Cinco de Mayo. It is not Mexican Independence Day. You know? So,
and by the way, that's Thursday, September 16th is right. Mexican Independence Day. Yes, just FYI.
I appreciate that. But Ramos is my yearly, like.
You need to do it. I agree.
For all of us, all of us gringos out there, okay? You know, at least, like, it's not hard. Just Google Cinco de Mayo meaning, and then you go, oh, okay, cool. Like, right? Very. It's just different. It's good. And you celebrate the spring together, whatever you want, and celebrate that we're out of quarantine. People were having concerts now. Like, it's back, it's on, right?
Know what you're celebrating.
But know what you're celebrating, right? I mean, just think about it. Like, if any other holiday, that's, I think, you don't really have to, but I would also tell you, it's one, a little disrespectful to not know. And then two, you kind of sound like the dumbest person ever if you're like, what, do you actually know what's thinking about? It's like, no. Let's get to what the Fox said.
And now.
What does the Fox say?
Every day in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio, we find for you the absolute perfect previous segment on a radio show, a TV show. We call it What Did the Fox Say? This was Colin Cowherd talking about the Jets.
The New York Jets are a fourth place team. This is going to take time. You got to be patient. I mean, God, Zach Wilson's mom looks 28. Forget Zach. This is just a young kid. This is a brutal division. Defensive coaches, best defensive coach division easily in the NFL. Zach Wilson is going to be completely overwhelmed for 2 years. You just got to sit back, let it play out, let this puppy bake. Because you got a first-time head coach and a first-time play caller and a rookie quarterback and rookies everywhere. And I got no idea how it's going to turn out. By the way, nobody does, including Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas. No team in the NFL is a bigger question mark than the Jets. You cross your fingers, you hope it's good, you hope the kid can play. But he's going from small town Utah to the biggest city in America and the surliest media.
Yeah, no, look, there's a lot there. And I would say that's a reasonable guess. You know, a reasonable guess. The Patriots, they got Mac Jones, they got Cam Newton into Mac Jones, but they have a much more veteran supporting cast and look like a team coming off a 7-win season that could go from 7 to 9 wins, even with a rookie quarterback, eventually when they get that way, because Mac Jones is ready to play. They have just about everything, you know, and you got Hunter Henry as a talented tight end. You're better at wide receiver. You're good at running back. You're better at offensive line. You're better on defense. They should be good. The Bills are the class of the division. And the Dolphins drafted very well. I would say the one thing that if you're the Jets, you can have a little less patience with is watch Miami. If Tua doesn't improve dramatically, they'll be right back in the quarterback sweepstakes. They will bail on him because they almost bailed on him this year. That's what the Fox
says. What does the Fox say?
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Did you guys watch day 3 at all? Gavin, did you watch day 3 of the draft?
I watched a little bit. I wasn't glued to my television like day 1 or 2.
Okay. Lohenkron, did you watch? No. Well, what about you, John?
Was that Saturday?
Yes.
Well, Gavin and I were here, so I think we saw, but we weren't, like you said, we saw it going on, but we weren't like really fixed on it, but yeah.
Come to think of it, I was here too.
No, you were here, Isaac.
In our off hours.
We watched the Jets draft two people with the same name.
That's right. And Bobby Brown. We saw Bobby Brown drafted that morning.
Well, the name thing is probably the most fun thing of the entire draft, right? Like the, what's his name? T. Martin's kid. His last name is Rogers. Drafted by the Packers.
A. Rogers. Like, right? Amari Rogers.
Amari Rogers. Like, man, strong move. You take Aaron Rodgers' brother. That's a good way to get him to stay. That's a really good way to get him. The name thing is the absolute best.
And it was Michael Carter, who the Jets drafted at two different positions.
They drafted two different Michael Carters?
Yeah, one's a running back. I think the other was on defense.
Were they both rated? Did they put the wrong card in first? That's the big question.
I think that was the thought when it initially went in. Like, is that the right one?
That'd be amazing if that's the real story. Like, yeah, we didn't. Hello, Michael? Yeah, we just drafted you. They're like, no. No, you didn't actually just draft him. Like, oh, wrong Michael Carter. Do we have, Isaac, do you know if that's true? Did they mean to draft the Michael Carters?
I would think, although the Dodgers and Mariners once, or the White Sox and Mariners, something involving the White Sox, once made a trade for a James Baldwin, and it was the wrong James Baldwin. They thought they were getting one James Baldwin, but it was another James Baldwin who played a different position. So it does happen, but I think this was kosher, if you will.
Hmm. All right, that's kosher. What's the story with Ohtani? That's the bigger story is what's up with Ohtani getting scratched from the start. You guys see the story? He got hit in the elbow with a pitch, so he's not going to start. But he's okay. Like his elbow is okay. He got hit on his elbow pad. Is this just precaution, Gavin?
Sorry, Gavin.
No, it's okay.
The word is that this is just precautionary because of what happened yesterday. The bigger concern is the Dodgers and Dustin May, but not so much with Ohtani.
Yeah, but he got hit with a pitch. It's not like that's not he's coming off of Tommy John. But he got hit with a pitch. And what didn't hit him on the inside of the elbow, it hit his elbow pad. That's like the, you know, we criticize all the time. It's just like you're alone in a grass field. Why are you wearing a mask, right? Like, I get the need for a mask. I've never been an anti-mask guy. But, like, you're vaccinated in a field and you're alone. Why do you have to wear a mask? You don't. He has already had Tommy John surgery. Yes, it hit him on his pitching elbow. But it hit the pad, not the inside, and he's fine. It almost ends up freaking people out way more when you're trying to be extra cautious, I guess. The Dusty May thing sucks, right? Because, I mean, he's going to have UCL surgery, right? I mean, that's torn ligaments in the elbow. You could see it, too, the way he's moving his fingers, right, where they get that finger tingling thing. Like, man, that's brutal. Brutal. It's better, I think, than like the NBA. Like when Jamal Murray tore his knee, like everybody knew, and it was tough, and he was crying, but you saw kind of his knee plant. You don't see it as much in baseball. The only time I can remember seeing something in baseball was it Doug Drabek whose arm broke when he was pitching? Do you guys remember that video?
It was Dave Dravecki.
Dave Dravecki.
Yes. For the Giants, I think he was pitching at the time.
Didn't he have a tumor or something in his arm and that's how they found out?
Yeah.
It was like the best thing that ever happened to him, but the worst thing that ever happened to him?
Yeah, it was not a pleasant thing to see, I can tell you that.
Go, Isaac. You had your memory of it?
Yeah, no. There was a Doug Drabek thing, too. But then, gosh, poor Drabecki also got a separate injury literally in the pile when they were celebrating clinching the National League West one year. So it was two separate things. But yeah, there were a couple throughout the years, unfortunately, that there's a YouTube rabbit hole down there of pitchers having these grievous injuries where you know immediately.
He was pitching to Tim Raines. Okay, he's pitching to Tim Raines in like 1990 or whatever, and his humerus bone snapped. The sound of it breaking could be heard throughout the stadium. Drabecki collapsed on the mound. He suffered a clean break midway through the shoulder and elbow. Yikes. Yikes. Yes, and then he broke it a second time when he was running out to the mound to celebrate. The doctor examining his x-rays noticed the mass in his arms. So the second break actually showed the cancerous tumor. That's the craziest story I've ever heard. That tops almost every crazy story in terms of injury.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.